right, guys, let's come on back in. Bring your cookies and your coffee. Let's jump into this. Again, just a reminder, if you weren't here for the announcements, I made a real brief disclaimer about today. We're talking about the armor of God, and today we're going to talk about the spiritual warfare. And we're going to do it using some images, some pictures, maybe some ideas, some thoughts that are could be disturbing. So we wanted to let parents know ahead of time if you wanted to take your kids out. Now, if you don't want to see it, that's fine. You're not going to offend me. Just wanted to let people know. But again, we're beginning this series, and we're calling it the armor of God. Now what this is, the armor of God, this is a kind of a famous passage in the Bible. It's in the book of Ephesians, and I'm just going to read it here for a minute. And it just talks about this part of what it means to be a Christian. And this book, the book of Ephesians, much of the New Testament, was written by a guy to people just like us. In other words, this book of Ephesians was written to a bunch of Christians who were gathering together in a church in this town called Ephesus, very similar to what we're doing here. Just folks living their life, people who had acknowledged, you know, God, you're real. God, I feel your call in my life. God, I recognize I need a Savior, and I believe that Jesus died to pay the penalty for my sins, and I will take that payment. They'd become Christians, just like we become Christians. That's no different. Then, when they had become Christians, they began to gather together in churches and live their life as Christians, just like we're doing here. So the book of Ephesians, like much of the New Testament, was written to folks who are really doing the exact same thing that we're doing, exact same kind of situation that we're in here, and it was written to them and written to us to help us know how to live well as Christians, okay? What does it mean? What does it look like? How do we do this thing called being a Christian, and how do we do it well? That's what the book of Ephesians was written for. And so we can hear it as well. God spoke it to those folks there, and he speaks it to you and I here. And so we can learn from this. And part of that, here in the end of that book of Ephesians, in the end of that letter, Paul is talking about a certain part of what it means for us to live the Christian life well. And I'm going to read it here. This is in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, okay? This is what it says. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. All right, a lot of stuff in there. That's what we're going to talk about here for the next 5 weeks, okay? Starting today and 4 weeks after this, we're going to talk about what that says and what that means to us. Because again, guys, this was written for you and I. It was written to those people back then, but what they were dealing with is the exact same thing that we're dealing with. Different culture, different time, but the world hasn't changed. We haven't changed. And so this was written for us to understand and to do something with, as is the whole Bible. So what in the world is this talking about, and what should we do with it? That's what we're going to focus in on here for the next few weeks. Today, what we're going to do is just talk about why this is important. Why are we thinking about this at all? What in the world? You know, I read that, and anytime you read the Bible and you look at what it says there, the armor of God and the breastplate of righteousness and the sword of the, I don't know what that means. I mean, we don't wear armor, Do we? I don't. Does anybody here regularly wear armor? Anybody here came today with, you know, a Kevlar breastplate on? Probably not. We don't think about that a whole lot. And too often what happens, guys, is we read the Bible and it just kind of skips off our head. You know, it just kind of bounces out of our head. So today what we're going to do is talk about, well, what in the world? Why should I pay attention to this at all? Why is this an issue? And it starts, to do it, we're going to focus in on the first few verses of this passage. And we're going to talk about the fight that we're in. If you're not in a fight, you don't need armor, right? You didn't wear armor today because you didn't expect to get into a fight, right? You didn't bring a shield today because you didn't expect somebody to shoot at you, right? You don't need armor if you're not in a fight. But if you're in a fight, you do. So for the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about all of this armor, all of these things that God says it's important for us to have, the breastplate of righteousness and the belt of truth and the sword of the Spirit, all this stuff. But today we're going to talk about, well, why do I need it at all? And it's because we're in a fight. You are in a fight. We're going to talk about that today, the fight that we're in. And I'm going to start here just looking at these first few passages. Starting right away in verse 10 there, it says this, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." Okay, this talks about something here. It tells us, it's a command. It says, look, you have to do something. Something is important to you. There's an action that you have to take. That's what God is saying here. Well, what's the action? Saying, hey, be strong and put on this armor. You need strength and you need protection, so make sure you have both. That's what this is saying. It's an imperative command. You have to have strength. You have to have protection. So be strong in the Lord and put on the full armor of God. Why? Why do I need strength? Why do I need protection? Well, the second part of that says it, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. In other words, you have an enemy. There is something, some force out there that you need to resist. There is some force out there that is coming after you that you have to do something about. You need strength and protection because you have an enemy. That's what this verse is saying here. And that enemy needs to be resisted. That's what it says. So you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. You need strength. You need protection because you're going to have to fight. That's what this verse is saying. Now, understand that. That's hard sometimes for us to grasp, I think. But do you... Well, let's just think about that a little more. I think that that tends to not mean a whole lot to us. I'm guessing. When I say that, hey, you need to be strong and be protected because you have an enemy that's attacking you, I suspect that for most of us, that doesn't mean a whole lot because I don't see it. What enemy? You know what I did today? I woke up this morning. The coffee was already made. I have a coffee pot that makes the coffee by the time I get up. Well, my sweet wife puts it in there at night, and then it's made when I get up. I had a house to be in. I had breakfast. I came here. There's cookies. I'm going to go home. Most likely, I'm going to watch the Packers. Maybe I'll rake some leaves this afternoon. It's a beautiful day out. Oh, my goodness. What fight am I in? What fight are you in? I suspect that when we say this, it doesn't mean a whole lot to us because we look around us and we say, well, I don't see a fight anywhere. Well, and that's true. That's true. The reason that I think we miss this or we don't see it is really that next verse. In verse 12, it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." In other words, what this is saying, look, is you're in a fight, but we don't see it physically. We live in a very physical world, don't we? And we interact with each other physically. We sleep, we eat, we put on clothes, we drive cars, we speak to each other, we communicate. Everything that happens, so much of what happens to us, we can touch, we can hear, we can interact within our senses. But what this verse is saying is, hey, you need to be strong and you need to be protected because you have an enemy, but this enemy is not something that is easy to see. What is it? Well, our struggle is against the powers of this dark world. This is starting to sound like a horror movie, right? Well, there's something out there behind the curtain. It's real. There is a spiritual world against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You and I are engaged in a war that is hard for us to see because it's spiritual. And it's often unfelt. We don't feel this a whole lot. We don't see it a whole lot. And most of what we see and feel and hear and touch doesn't feel like a war to us, doesn't look like a war to us. But what this verse is saying, and guys, understand that God wants to speak to you. You know, he wrote this to those Christians then and to you now, and he's telling us a reality that we have to take to heart. He's saying, look, you are in a war. There is a struggle. You need strength. You need protection because your enemy, even though you don't see him, he's real. It's these spiritual rulers, authorities, the powers of this dark world, the spiritual forces of evil. It's a battle of good and evil that you are engaged in. That's what this verse is saying. That's what this is saying. This is what God is saying. But again, even saying that, I struggle to pay attention to it. And I suspect that most of us struggle to pay attention to it. And I think the reason is, again, because it's so easy to miss. But if we don't recognize the truth of this, we're not going to put on the armor, are we? If you don't believe that you need the armor of God, you're not going to go out of your way to find it and put it on. I know a man who was drafted into the army in the late 1960s, and he didn't want to be in the army. He was a young man, 19 or 20 years old. It's the last place he wanted to be, but he got drafted. Didn't have a choice. He was there, and The way he described it, he just wasn't paying attention. And the sergeant's telling him how to take your gun apart and put it back together. And, well, what does he care? And the sergeant's teaching him how to crawl under barbed wire while they're shooting bullets over your head. Well, so what? I don't want to even be here. Until the day that they told them that they were going to go to Vietnam. And then, in his words, he says, everybody got really, really interested in their rifle. Everybody really, really, really started to pay attention to what was going on. Why? Because suddenly the danger became real to them. The physical danger of combat became real. It's coming. So they paid attention and they prepared themselves. If you do not believe or see the real spiritual danger that you are in, none of this is going to make any sense to you. We have to be able to see that we are in a battle. We have to be able to see this, or all this armor stuff, I just kind of, I don't get it, or I don't care. We're going to be like that young man in the army that just kind of wishes they'd stop talking about it. But if we're in a war, if we're in a battle, it suddenly means something. Now let me make a statement to you. The reality is that you are in a war. If you are a Christian, if you have accepted Christ as your Savior, you are in a war. You don't have to go looking for it. You are in it. Look what it says here in 1 Peter 2:11. It says, "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul." There is a war. Where? Where is this war? It's being fought over your soul. It is being fought all around you, and you are the central part of it. There is a force, a fight in the heavenly realms. These spiritual forces of good and evil are battling over you. That's what that says. There is a war for your soul, and it is inside of you, and you are caught up in it whether you want to be or not. You are not given the option to not be part of this war because the fight is going on over you, about you, around you, inside of you. That's what God says. If you have accepted Christ as your Savior, if you have become a Christian, there is a war for your soul, and you can't escape it. You cannot just leave. You can't wish it wasn't so, because the fight is going on around you, whether you want it or not, and you are caught up in it. You are engaged in a war. There's a war for you. There's a war inside of you. There's a war around you. And where so much of this war is fought, what does it say there? What does it say there, this war against your soul? What's it a war over? Well, it's a war about you and your choices in a really big way. Abstain from sinful desires. We said at the beginning, this is a war about good and evil. Well, there's not really good and evil. Yes, there is. And if you don't believe it, you're missing the reality that there is a war of good and evil. And if you have accepted Christ, God says he's brought you into his family and you are now a new creature and you feel that battle between good and evil. You feel the difference between right and wrong. You have the ability to have God speak to you. All your choices impact you and the world around you, and this war is being fought primarily in your choices. How do you choose to live your life? What do you do? What are your choices? That's where this war is being fought. This cosmic spiritual fight with the powerful forces of good and evil is swirling around you and inside of you, and the battleground where that war is fought in a huge way is what you choose to do in your life, Christian. Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? There is a war being fought for your soul, around your soul. You are neck deep in it. Whether you want to be or not, whether you pay attention to it or not, it is being fought, and you are part of it. You are in this fight. In Romans, it says the same thing. Romans 12, verse 11 says, "And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber." Wake up from your slumber. Why? Because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Look, you make choices every day. We do it all the time. And you engage in this spiritual war all the time without ever knowing it. You're here today because you made a choice. We don't get days like this in November. What is it, 70 degrees on November what? That's crazy. What are we doing here? Why are we not out there? You made a choice. Somehow this was important to you. We do that all the time. You wake up every day and you make choices about right and wrong, good and evil. What am I going to do? How am I going to conduct myself? That's where that fight is being fought, this fight over your soul. You are engaged in it all the time. And I think still, even saying that, it's hard for us to grasp that. Because again, it sometimes seems like, well, what? Oh, I came to church. Okay, that's kind of good. But then what? For the rest of the day, maybe that was it. Maybe that's the whole extent of the spiritual battle for me today as I decided to go to church rather than sit out in my backyard. No, you are engaged in this war all day, every day, because you make choices all day, every day. Do you choose kind words or angry words? You know, the Bible says that your words have incredible power. It says in Proverbs that your words have the power to heal or to destroy. Your words can be wise and helpful, or your words can be a knife driven into somebody's side and twisted. That's what the Bible says. Your words. How many words do you choose to say today? How many? How many times do you speak to someone that you know and love? You are making choices. Am I using kind words or harsh, evil words? Are my words healing or are they a knife twisting? That is the spiritual war. That happens to you, what, 50, 100 times a day? Well, that's the war for your soul. Because the choices you make on that battleground impact you, impact the people around you. God fights this war for people, for souls, yours and the people's around you, and you engage in it by how you act, the words you use. Do you choose to work hard or slack off when no one's looking? YouTube is a terrible thing for work efficiency. And it's true of me. It's true of me. When I go in my office, I can watch cats dancing or I can work. And we think it's funny, but it isn't. I laugh at it too, but guys, understand that little benign thing there. God says, work heartily as unto the Lord, even when your master isn't looking at you. That's a choice that we make. It is a war. There is a war for what you do. The choices you make, good and evil, right and wrong, we swim in it. And we fight it all the time. What do you choose when no one's looking? Do you look, men, at the Victoria's Secret commercial when it comes on today? Oh my goodness, men. You go home and watch the football game. When that Victoria's Secret commercial comes on, do you look and indulge your eyes and let your mind run? Do you? Or do you turn away and let your son see a man who doesn't let his penis take over? Let your wife see a man of integrity. That is a fight for your soul and the soul of the people that you love. That is a war, and I understand the war, man. I understand the war. Oh my goodness, but don't fool yourself. That is not a benign thing. There is a battle, and you're fighting it. You're fighting it. Do you gossip or speak well of people? When somebody's name comes up, when you're sitting around talking, is it fun to say those harsh things? Or do you defend people when their back is turned? Do you acknowledge God in the workplace? Do people know you're a Christian? Or are you afraid to say anything? That is a war. There's a battle going on for right and wrong, and you are engaged in it. Do you defend the helpless at school? When someone's getting picked on, do you stand up for them, or do you side with the aggressor? Because that's easier. Well, there's a war going on, student, in your soul, for the people around you. Do you grow in love and affection for your spouse, or is it growing cold and distant? God tells you, rejoice in the wife of your youth. Be satisfied with her always. Is that true of you, husband, wife? Are you growing deeper in love and affection, or is it growing distant? That is a war for your soul and the soul of your spouse and your kids who are seeing mom and dad. Are you living in God's love for you, or do you doubt it? There's a war there. Which is it? Are you living in God's love, or do you doubt it? Do you make decisions based on money or based on the word? Is your definition of success how much money you make? God says, don't do that. You cannot serve both God and money. Or is your definition of success, Lord, what do you want me to do? There's a war for your soul that goes on every day when you make those decisions. Do you read the word or a romance novel? Do you get most of your input from your phone or from the Holy Spirit? That's a real one, isn't it? Do you get more input from your cell phone or from the God who created you, who says, I want to speak to you just like I'm speaking to you now? Do you believe that he wants to, and do you ever let him? Or are you so sucked into that little device that that's where most of your input comes from? Understand, gang, you are in a battle for your soul, and you live it every day. And you think, I just woke up and lived my life. Yes, you did. And you made one choice after the next that impacts your soul. Right and wrong, good and evil is real, and you swim in it. And there is a battle for you. And it's fought in your choices, how you choose to live your life. You can't escape the battle. If you have accepted Christ, you are in it. But we have three options on how we respond to it. Those options have different results. Three options. How we respond to this battle, and they impact us greatly, how we choose to fight this war. To choose well instead of poorly in the world of right and wrong, good and evil. Three different things we can do. Each one has a different result. Here's the first one. The first thing that can happen to us if you're a Christian in this spiritual war is you can get eaten. You can get eaten by your enemy. 1 Peter 5:8, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now that doesn't mean a lot to us either, because most of us don't struggle with the fear of getting eaten by a lion. And yet it's a physical picture of a spiritual reality. And I want to show a clip here. This is where this is a bit disturbing. It's from The Revenant. If you've seen that movie, this is a picture of a man getting attacked by a grizzly bear. You got that, Nate? That whole clip, and I was told not to. And I took that counsel, but I wish you'd go and watch it, because it is the spiritual reality of what will happen to you if you ignore the fight. That bear will eat you. And there's not a thing you can do about it if you ignore him, because you get caught and you're looking somewhere else and you ignore the reality. Your enemy wants to eat you and rip and tear you to shreds. And if you watch the rest of that clip, that's exactly what happened. This bear just mauls and mauls, and it comes back and it does it again. Spiritually, if we ignore the fight, we will get eaten. And what that means, I think, is that we will become so spiritually wounded that we can't function anymore. You will become so spiritually wounded that you can't function. Men, if you go home and watch that Victoria's Secret commercial today, and then you do it again in the second game, and you do it tomorrow, and you do it next week, you know what happens over time? You go in your room and you start to masturbate. And then your affection for your wife begins to wane, and your son does not have respect for you, and you become so spiritually wounded that you're not good for anything. That's what this spiritual war is about. That's what God says. Don't be devoured. But if you ignore it, that's what will happen, because it's a war. Guys, it's a war. And in a war, people get hurt. And if you ignore it, your enemy will ambush you. He'll wait till your back is turned, and you won't think it's a big deal, and he will attack you, and you will find yourself so spiritually wounded that you can't function anymore. That's one option of this spiritual war. That's one of the things that can happen. You ignore it, you think it's not real, your enemy will attack you and destroy you spiritually. He won't kill you. I don't think God will allow us to be killed. We're still going to go to heaven if you accepted Christ. But God won't protect you from getting so spiritually wounded in this world that you'll be unable to function. That's one option, one thing that can happen. Here's a second one. We can look at this and we can think, I don't want that, so I'm going to run. I'm going to hide. This is too dangerous. I'm going to run away. And if we do that, we atrophy. We decompose. We rot spiritually. There's a passage here in Matthew 25 where Jesus is talking, and he's talking to Christians, people like you and I. And he's saying, you know what? We, these people, and you and I have choices to make, how we conduct ourselves, what we do. One of the people that he talked about here became afraid. And this is what it says. The man who had received one talent came, Master, he said, I knew you were a hard man, harvesting where you had not sown, gathering where you had not scattered. So I was afraid when I went and hid your talent in the ground. We can look at this and say, holy smoke, there's a war out there, and there's an enemy, and it's real, and I believe it. I'm going to go get out of this fight. I'm going to run and hide. Jesus says, you wicked and lazy servant. And later on he says, throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness. What happens is we atrophy, we rot, we decompose. And too many Christians spiritually look like this. Nate, you got that picture? This is spiritually what too many Christians look like. We've run and we've hidden and we're rotting. And you know what? Your enemy is just as pleased with this as he is with mauling you. If he can get you all alone, running and hiding, afraid to do anything, I'm not even going to get involved in this, you will end your life lonely and alone and bitter. And he's just as pleased with that. Just as pleased with that. Are you spiritually atrophying because you're afraid of the fight? And you've run and you've hidden? That's an option. You're in the fight. There's nothing you can do about it if you're a Christian. The fight is swirling about you, and you are fighting. The battleground of this fight is in your choices, and you make them. You engage every day. You can't escape it. Well, you can pretend it's not real. The enemy will eat you, wound you. You can believe it's real, but be afraid of it. Run and hide, and you will decompose spiritually. You will atrophy. Third option. One more option. That option is you can fight. You can fight. You can fight. That's that last verse in this passage that we're looking at this morning. Therefore, because of all this, because this is true, because you're in a war that you can't escape, because this war is for your soul, because this war, the battleground of this war is your choices, and your choices impact you and the people around you, and there's good and evil, right and wrong, and it's battling for you, because that's true. And because if you ignore it, you'll get eaten, and because if you run away from it, you'll atrophy, because all of that, make a choice. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when, not if, when the day of evil comes, when the bear attacks you, when you fall down, when the battle is raging around you, not if, when you are in the battle and you are tempted to do what you know you shouldn't do, when that happens, what can happen? You may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything to stand, you can fight. And fighting here, so often, you know what it looks like? I'm going to stand up. I'm going to try. And if you knock me down, I'm going to get up again. Doesn't mean you have to be Hercules. Doesn't mean you have to be perfect. Doesn't mean you have to even win all the time, but I will not quit. And I will stand up and I will fight. And I need help, so God help me to do it well. And we do this. I love this picture here. You know, we just live our lives, and sometimes we're just in the kitchen and stuff is messy all over the place, and sometimes we just got off our exercise bike, but you are in the battle. And recognize that as you live your life, I need help. I need to fight. I'm in a war. And I'm going to try. I'm going to engage. And the rest of this series, guys, the rest of this series is how we do that. And understand, God does not tell you, go out there and fight. I'm for you. Hope you do all right. He says, no, come with me, because I'm fighting this fight, says Jesus. I'm fighting this fight. And I am waist deep in it, and I will not lose. Come with me and fight with me. Oh, I want to do that. Understand what the truth is here. You can follow your Creator into this fight this afternoon, tomorrow morning, is this true of you? Do you think that's kind of hokey? I hope not. I hope that you recognize this is your reality. This is real. Please, people, see it. See it. Believe it. If you don't think it's real, you're going to get eaten. If you're deathly afraid of it, you're going to rot. But if you just stand up, help me, Lord. I don't even know what it looks like. I don't even know what a breastplate is. Help me. Take my hand, Jesus. Help me to fight. If we do that, this is what happens. This is what I long for myself, for all of you, for my kids. The guy that wrote Ephesians, all this stuff about armor and spiritual warfare, all the stuff we've been looking at, the guy that wrote that wrote this when he was at the end of his life, said, I have fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. I fought. He let success be defined by God. He just fought. He let a lot of the decisions be made by God. He just stood up and followed. Is that how you're living your life? Christian, is that how you're living your life? We can do that. It doesn't take anything other than a willingness to follow your Father, follow your Savior, follow your friend. Let him clothe you with his armor. That's what we're going to talk about for the next 4 weeks. What does that look like? How do we do that? But if you don't believe that this is real, nothing we talk about for the next 4 weeks is going to mean anything. You might as well stay home. But if the fight is real to you, and if you're fighting it, God can make you successful, and this can be true of you. You can get to the end of your life and say, I fought the good fight. I didn't get eaten. I finished the race. I didn't crawl away and rot. I kept the faith. That's what I desire for myself, for my family, for you. It's what God desires. It's what we can have. Father, help us to be men and women who live that way. Oh, Jesus, help us. We really want to be men and women, Lord, who follow you into battle, not run off on our own, not ignore it, not be afraid of it, but take your hand and follow you into the battle that swirls around us. Jesus, I just pray that you would help us to be those kinds of men and women. And it is fearful, and it is confusing, and it is hard, and it's wearing, or battle is. But help us, Lord. Help us in your name just to stand, to get up, and to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.